Who did what and who said what?
Oh my God.
Really?
Seriously?
Really?
I can't read through.
A little bit of this and that.
What are you saying?
Just Talking. Brought to you by In.com.
We're so used to watching stuff across seasons. We wait, we see what surprises are in store, and then we discuss them on social media. The Election Commission knows. And look what they've done to our elections. This is Just Talking, brought to you by In.com, and my name is Kritika. This time, the elections are spread over so many days and so many faces. It's kind of like watching a Suraj Barjatya movie. And because of that, we also have to deal with election talk everywhere. On TV, in the papers, on social media, water cooler discussions at work, when your aunt comes home, when you meet your neighbor in the park. Because what can be more interesting than discussing the adults who behave like kids at election time? Now, this is a massive exercise. If you have to make sure you have a country with more than a billion people covered, you have to start planning months in advance and make sure everything runs like clockwork right from getting new voters to sign up till the day election results are announced. It involves so many people, so although too many cooks spoil the broth, these guys make quite a good bhel puri. So with 29 states, 7 union territories, and millions of people who will turn up to vote, let's take a look at the Indian elections in numbers this year. Gone are the times when we had two kings fighting for one kingdom. Everyone just had to pick one side. But now it's like anybody who has a few crores can go and register and form a new party. And it's not like they think enough before they go and register their symbols with the Election Commission. You must have noticed a lot of ridiculous symbols on the charts. There was one with a cupboard. Okay, fine. Maybe that means they give safety the biggest priority and that they'll protect us. But what's with the green chili symbol? How are you going to spice up our political life? And an auto rickshaw symbol? Seriously? The only thing we hear from rickshaw drivers is the word no. So what will this candidate do? You go and say, hey, can you open a public library for us? No. Can you fill these potholes? No. Can you divert traffic? No. Can you give us clean water? Give me 1.5 times the price. They don't really think this through. Anyway, it's not enough to have just one ridiculous person per constituency. This year, in the 2019 elections, obviously there are the two big national parties. So there are 2,000 political parties in the country who are fielding 8,000 candidates collectively to battle it out for 543 seats. This is like writing the IIT JEE. The number of disappointed candidates is going to be way too high. The election process in itself has taken so long this year. It started on May 11th all the way till 19th May, and then counting will take place and the results will be out on the 23rd. We will know who's going to take decisions for India for the next 5 years, who's going to have the responsibility of fighting the dreaded opposition. So way back in 1951 and 52, it was a really big deal for India to hold its first democratic elections. Imagine a country that is so huge and a process that was so new. So the first time, after a lot of planning, the elections were held over 3 months. After that, we'd gotten the hang of it a little bit. So between 1962 and 1989, the elections were completed in 4 to 10 days. The process was already in place and you could compress it and deploy people across the country, make sure they were in the right place at the right time. And in 1980, the elections were held across 4 days. So that was the country's shortest elections ever back then. The biggest challenge is the security now. What with fights breaking out and information constantly being spread on social media, it's important to make sure each booth is secure, and with a country this large, it seemed like a great idea now to spread it out across 39 days. One good thing that came out of social media, the number of voters increased by millions since the last general elections. Partly because it became easier to know how to sign up and where to go and register, but mostly because everyone puts up pictures on Instagram. It seems like you don't really have to think too much about whom you're voting for, but it's very, very, very important to let the world know that you voted. So the last time we had general elections, 830 million people were eligible to go and vote. But obviously, not everyone exercises that right. So about 550 million people went to the polling booths and actually cast their vote. This time, the number of people who are eligible to vote has gone up by 83 million, and election authorities have said the numbers swell up to 900 million in 2019. Once the elections are done, we'll know how many actually went and voted. Or maybe they can just do a quick search on social media, you know, hashtag I voted, hashtag responsible citizen, hashtag got inked. Every time there's a movie that comes out, you see reports of how it made 100 crores and 200 crores. the elections are the biggest blockbuster India ever saw. It is really expensive to conduct elections on such a large scale. There are so many things you have to pay for, starting from the basic indelible ink. Across the country, when elections happen, they procure ink from Mysore. It's the only place in the country that's allowed to make this ink, and they like to say they have a secret ingredient to make this ink indelible, and this same company also supplies ink to elections in other countries across Asia. That's one important cost they have to account for. Then you have to coordinate with and pay the officials, pay for advertising across different media, pay people who will be working on the ground level on the day of elections, the crazy number of vehicles you need. And they're also doing new innovative things, like they introduced 5 board games. And these games are designed to help you understand the electoral process, because it's India and we have a complicated system. And there are extra costs apart from what they usually need to cover. And some reports say this year's election costs 14 billion rupees. Different reports say different amounts, but that is twice the amount it cost in 2014. So if election prices have doubled, prices have inflated, shouldn't our pay also double? 1 million polling stations. And it's really cool what they did this time when almost 900 million voters are on the list. Last general elections, they made sure that no voter traveled more than 8.5 kilometers to cast their vote. Think about it. In the big cities, just thinking about traffic might have stopped you from going to vote. And in rural areas, transportation might have been a challenge for so many people to travel in one go. What they did this year was make sure that every voter's polling station was just around 2 kilometers from their houses. And the polling stations also went all out to make sure voters were comfortable. They had drinking water, medical assistance, and so cute, some polling booths had games right outside the voting room so that parents who went to vote could make sure their little kids weren't getting bored. The booths also had to be disabled people friendly. It has to be accessible to everyone. 1 million polling booths for one country. That's insane. Remember when you were in school and sometimes a teacher would have trouble managing a class of 40-50 kids? How on earth do you manage 900 million adults then? By employing 11 million polling officials. Teachers, bank officials, postal employees, and most other government workers are deployed on duty over the course of the election period to make sure everyone behaves themselves. The election officials also have to be trained in a lot of ways, like making sure you know the process. And this time, they also had to be trained in using the app that was developed, making sure they know election guidelines and maintaining security and everything. And the most important thing is to make sure they're neutral people, because you don't want voters to be manipulated at the last moment, right? Then it'll be the biggest plot twist after all that campaigning that candidates would have done earlier. So the Election Commission made a rule that anybody contesting elections had to advertise their criminal records if they had any. Why? You can just leave it to the opposition to do it. Who's gonna let something like that pass about their competitor? But the rule stated that before the elections, any candidate with a criminal record had to make sure their criminal records were in the papers and other places at least 3 times during electioneering. And the money for advertising this had to come out of their own polling expenses, because some parties had approached the Election Commission asking for permission to pay for advertising these facts and not let it come out of the candidate's pocket. But the EC was like, no way. Whoever commits the crime pays for it, even if it's for the elections. In phase 1, 17% of the candidates had criminal records. In phase 2, 16% of the candidates had criminal records. And in phase 3, approximately 35% had criminal records. It's almost becoming a rite of passage. Wanna be a minister? Welcome to jail. We read so much about equality of the genders these days, and women in parliament has always been a debate for ages now. India is one of the few countries which had a female prime minister at a time when a lot of nations were still debating letting women be ministers. We are one of the few countries to have a female defense minister, and some states like West Bengal and Tamil Nadu have always had strong female leaders. But even though we've taken huge strides in that aspect, the ratio of the female population and their representation in parliament is really skewed. 48% of the registered voters are women, but women only hold about 11% of the seats. There have been several stages on different levels, right from panchayat elections to the Lok Sabha, where steps were taken to make sure women were elected. But there are some places where candidates just fielded their wives to win seats but call the shots themselves. I mean, it's politics. You do whatever it takes to get to the top. More than a billion people, and we have 545 seats in the Lok Sabha to call the shots and tell all of us what to do. And to do that, a party needs 272 seats to win. But the real competition starts on May 23rd to see who will side with whom, and people changing sides in the blink of an eye. We'll see how this pans out. Politics and politicians having their field day this season. This is Just Talking, brought to you by In.com, and my name is Kritika.
Just Talking, brought to you by In.com.